Today's episode of the podcast is proudly brought to you by Arena Australia. Arena are the very best swimming brand in the business, whether you're after the best race suits, racing training goggles, training aids, or even team gear for your clubs. Arena Australia are the way to go. If you don't believe me, just look up on the blocks at the finals of most events at either nationals or international events, and you'll see the Arena logo front and center on the fastest swimmers' race suits. They just are the best. Head over to arenaswimming.com.au right now for all the latest sales and discounts, and let them know that Off the Block Swimming Podcast sent you.
Australia in four, the United States in five.
Off. At the bottom, Stubbins above her, Schlanger in sixth, into the yellow lane, Henry.
Wing start, Mills got into the water quickly, but so did Joyce. The short of Germany was away well.
They'll go to the wall all together, pick that one. Blumer, in fact, ahead of Manuel and Hiroshimena. What a shot, Peterson stumps her authority on another 200 breaststroke.
Now Henry is starting to come out.
Jodie Henry of Australia shading Jenny Thompson has taken the lead here. The Australians have only won this race once. It was with Dawn Fraser in 1956. Henry's moving away. She's going to win it for Australia. This has been a remarkable last leg. Jodie Henry is going to bring Australia home for what will be
yes,
victory.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the exclusive Shannon Rollison podcast for another week. I am Robbie Cox, your host, joined by the man himself, Shannon Rollison. Shannon, how are you, mate?
Yeah, well, thanks, Robbie. Yourself?
Mate, I'm good. I'm two coffees in. Yeah, from a long weekend. Yeah, it was definitely a long weekend, that's for sure. But wouldn't have it any other way. As I said, I've said this before to people, we're not building houses brick by brick. What's a long day to us is very different to a long day for a labourer and people like that. So can't really complain too much, other than maybe results could have went a little bit better, you know. Just, that sort of makes your weekend a little bit better, doesn't it? When you finish and your PB rating's a little bit higher, or the athletes perform a little bit better, the weekend feels less tiring. But other than that, your lot went pretty well.
Yeah, I was happy with my guys. I had one of my boys. He didn't swim too well, but he's been training really well. And he's one of those types of swimmers that really needs a taper and things like that. So he started going downhill on the Tuesday, Wednesday, and before the meet. And so there was no great surprise that he continued on that trajectory. So, but he copped it on the chin, and he hasn't got sick. I had one of my swimmers, Tom Robinson, who swam really well. He got into the, dropped about half a second in the 100 free. He got crook, started feeling a bit crook on the Saturday, so I had to pull him out of racing on the Sunday.
Okay.
But apart from that, yeah, it was all pretty good. We had a few PBs, which is good. He was one of them, Ava being a bit younger, it's always a bit easier for those guys to do a PB, but, you know, doesn't mean you're always going to get them, so it's nice. Yeah. She did a couple. My breaststrokers were good, actually. I liked what I saw, so that was good. I was happy with Bronte. Mm. I think it was... It's probably, definitely in Australia, it was the best competition she's had. So to watch her race against, people like Emma McKeon and Molly, that was good because didn't see that in December. Raced against a sister in Adelaide, but, that was probably the stiffest competition. So that was good. So
you're happy. I mean, it's a tricky one for you, I guess, because for a lot of the age group coaches, and the pièce de résistance to our seasons coming up in the next 3 weeks or whatever. But for you, when you're planning to June, this is more of a let's just see where we're at. And you obviously, we talked about this last week, looking for more of execution of race plans and stuff like that. So you walked away pretty happy with that sort of stuff in terms of everyone was sort of executing how you liked it?
Yeah. And, yeah, there was some swimmers went faster in a heat and then went a little bit slower in a final. But, you know, that swimmer in particular, it was the first time they'd made an A final at New South Wales Open, you know, and they're an open swimmer. So, you know, it's a new experience. In the past, only made B finals. So that was good. The heat executions were good. Then you look at, okay, what happened in the final? Didn't execute as well. Then you get an opportunity to talk about that. Some people, you could see that, you know, they were really quite stressed about their main events, but then quite relaxed about their sort of secondary events. Mm. So you get an opportunity to talk about that and the differences with that. And then just other things like, yeah, Bronte's finish in the 50 was quite slow in comparison to Adelaide. So while that's a positive in one hand, it's okay, we've got to make sure, you know, is that just a one-off or is there something there? Or
I remember you telling me actually whatever the time was. Where do you get that time from? Are you just standing there at the flags and time it or what?
Well, visually, it was bad enough that I knew it was bad.
No, I'm aware visually, but you gave me a number. So I was like, yeah, so where's he getting this data from?
Yeah, I went off to, you know, track that down. And
yes, okay.
Yeah, so it's sort of hence why, you know, we had a bit of a kerfuffle with NSWS when they wouldn't provide that information for me in December. So
I don't remember that. Were you not happy with them? I don't recall that.
That's all water under the bridge.
Of course, of course.
And, yeah, so I was able to, when we went to South Australia, look at that race, compared it to the Sydney Open race.
Yep.
So that's how I got that information. And that's why at that sort of level you need that level of data. So that was
good. Do they get first 15 and all that sort of stuff as well? So you've got all that kind of, sweet.
Yeah. Turn, starts, free swimming speed, finishes, stroke rates. I tend not to, the stroke rates is on average. And look, forever and a day, I've always gone off my own stroke rate because I'm the guy at training that's doing the stroke rate. I'm the guy in racing. And no offense, I think it's got better over the years, but it is only the number that it spits out to you is an average over that. So say if they were getting a stroke rate from the 15 to the 25, they'll just give you an average of that.
Okay.
So it can be a little bit different to yours. And back in the day, I remember, you know, you'd get a stroke analysis by, you know, Johnny Farquhar, and then the analysis is Freddie Flintstone, you know, and
yeah,
so they're two different people looking at it, and you're like, well, where's human error here and that? So I've just gone, you know, I'm going to do my own stroke rates.
Yes.
But what I can't do is what I look at, you know. So sometimes I get stroke rates and counts if it's just one swimmer, but obviously I can't if there's two swimmers in the race, so I'll look for stroke counts and then the other detail.
Yeah. No, that data is good, and it's always good, as you said, to sort of double-check yourself. I remember whenever it was you'd gotten a bit of information about a stroke rate and it was a little bit different to what you got. And then because you always say you never got assistant coaches, but I've told you there's always two or three people standing around you getting rates on some of your swimmers as well, just because. And I was getting rates at the same time. I think Michaela did too. And then luckily you're like, all right, so I'm not crazy. Everyone's got the same as me. Yeah. So we're going to go with that. But you're right. Cause you know, even with other coaches, assistant coaches or whatever, they'll grab a rate, and it's still around about what you'd normally get. It's never like crazy bad, but
yeah
it's probably better to get it yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, in a meet like that, I was trying to think, because, you know, I think we were chatting over the weekend and that, and I wasn't here. I was overseas, but I think Jarko used to talk about a certain percent from your PB in season. And Gennady used to talk about that. And I think off the top of my head, it's like between 1% and 2%.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that?
No, you mean on top of? So if you're like 2% off your PB, best, then that's not too bad in season.
Yeah. So, yeah, for anyone that's out there and is thinking, yeah, what is acceptable, you know? So, and I haven't put a ruler over it, but apart from the male breaststroke I was talking about, everyone else was within those limits. So that was good, you know. So, you know, onwards and upwards to April, which, you know, outdoor pool. Anyway.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, Shannon, from State on the weekend, which I thought was a good idea, and you can let me know your thoughts, but the fence, I guess, the sort of coach's area, I thought that was a really good idea versus the tables and chairs. And if you're first in, best dressed, and if you didn't get a seat, you just sort of look awkward, like you're standing around waiting for a chair and waiting for someone to move. Like, I thought it was good. It kept everyone on the move. Yeah. I know you kept going up into the stands as well, so something exciting must have been happening up there. What do you think of those things?
Yeah, I thought it was good. When we were at States in January, and I know Sander's been talking about it since he's basically stepped on pool deck in a New South Wales employment position, you know. So he's been talking about for a fair while. He doesn't like he didn't like the table and chairs type thing. He used to take photos and send me all the time.
Well, you don't see it anywhere else, do you? Like if you go to Nationals, it's all stand, right. You get your spot.
And so he spoke to KT about that, and I said, you know, what would be good is if you had a designated area up top in the grandstand, and I think I've mentioned maybe, you know, just the yellow seating area so coaches can, you know, because you're time poor on pool deck at different times. And that was to go up to, you know, so you could race up the stairs. And basically you knew where you had to get to and there would be seating there and you could watch the race from above because you can see more when you're up higher. And I did that quite a bit. It was good. But I thought, yeah, along the pool deck there was much better. More people can get to it. And you don't feel like you're standing in front of someone. So I thought that was really good. I think it even visually looked better instead of just having a very small area. It was a decent area. And, you know, sometimes in the past, Swimming Australia meets have had to be changed because they've given you like 10 metres, which is just ridiculous. So, you know, we had half a pool there, so I thought that was good. What else? Oh, something just slipped my mind.
I like it. You know, I want to put forward another idea as well
The other thing that Sander was talking about was feeding the coaches.
Yep.
So if you had like...
Well, I'm getting around that. Yeah, what did he say?
Yeah, so I think, and I can't remember off the top of my head how much, but, you know, you pay maybe $10 or something and they put on, you know, a lunch spread in the room. So we're going back into the 80s, aren't we, in the 90s when anyone was coaching back then. But, you know, you paid $10 or some sort of levy and you know you don't have to go upstairs, stand in line with everybody, all the Joe Public, and you think, oh, I should be able to get a sandwich in 10 and it takes you 20.
Yeah.
you know. So,
well, I like that idea because I always get mobbed, you know, because we're such big stars here on the podcast. As soon as I go upstairs to get a coffee, you know, people are asking for photos and autographs, and I just think, oh man, you know, this is a tough gig. I'd like my own space downstairs with catering. So I agree. It's a good idea. And I thought those other things were executed really well on the weekend in terms of coaching space and standing. And the other thing I'd like to put forward is spaces for the swimmers to get around and support their teammates as well. So I don't necessarily know, Shannon, why we couldn't keep those barricades up even on the other side and put it along the side of the pool for swimmers to be able to cheer for their, you know, almost like that college sort of vibe in America. They don't have to be on pool deck, leave enough space for the officials. I get all that, but I mean, how much space do the officials need? They're not you know, driving cars up and down there. Like, I think we can get a little bit more closer to the action, which is going to build that atmosphere a little bit. But to start with the coaches sort of area, I thought it was good.
Yeah. Look, I think KT's, I've actually heard her say that's what she wants.
Good. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's the officials and things like that.
Well, they're not driving cars and buses up and down. Like, they're just, there's enough space. I get we don't want to encroach on them too much, but at the same time, we've got to try and build an atmosphere for people to want to come back to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought it was well executed on the weekend with the coaches area. And, as I said, I think that's fairly well established around the country now, and up in Queensland when you go to states at Chandler, you know, you've got that area on the side that the coaches go, and there is chairs in a coach's area to go sit down if you need to, but just sort of keeps everyone on the move as well. I don't know about you, but I'm very rarely just sitting at a table. I don't even have a big team, so there's not a lot of opportunities to sit out and have a rest anyway. So I think it's good because it gets coaches, you know, they watch their race, they move. So then the next coach comes in, watch their race, they move. Whereas sometimes those tables make it sort of, you know, if you're there at 7:30 and you put your bag down, well, that's my spot, and then no one really gets to get in that spot. So, which is great for that person who got there early. But for the poor people who coach that morning, some people don't get there till 9 because they've had to work or do something. And yeah, I thought it was well done. Anyway, that's my two cents on it. So but the upstairs was good too in that yellow seating.
Yeah, because you didn't have to go try and find a spot. So there's, I think Lee Nugent was sitting there, a couple of other people from Swimming Australia, Lindley Frame and Greg Shaw were there, and you just knew you could get up there, find a spot and then get back out of there.
I didn't even know that was there. I just knew you disappeared sometimes. Not that I was just searching around for you, because I'd just look and I'd see one of your swimmers, but then I was like, oh, where's Shannon? He must be. And then, and it was only, I think, when Bronte swam, I looked up and I saw you up there. So I was like, what the hell's he doing up there? So now we know. There we go. All right. That's a good idea. Well done to Swimming New South Wales. Well done, Sander. Good idea, mate. Now, I don't know if he listens every week because we probably put him to sleep. But if he listens, well done, mate. Good job. I mean, we've got a few things on the docket sheet here to discuss today. And I guess we can kick off with one of the news and notes that you sent through to me, Shannon, which was, and I'll give you the headline and then we can discuss it. Queensland government denies plans to scrap 2032 Olympic Games. So from what we were chatting about earlier, Shannon, it looks like behind the scenes there.
Yeah,
trying to quietly make a conversation around what it would look like if they could.
Yeah. So yesterday morning when I sent you that was just a snippet going across the Channel 2 news. And then by lunchtime they were reporting that in a bit more detail here in Canberra on the radio. And basically it's been leaked that the Queensland government had gone to their lawyers to see how much it would cost to back out of the 2032 Olympics. Now, they may have just asked the question, you know, I don't know, but, yeah, it's certainly being reported on.
Well, it still tells you they're thinking about it. It's like saying to going to my lawyer and going, how much would it be for a divorce? I'm not going to do it, but I just want to check what's the outcome here and is it in my favour? I mean, it's the same thing. Just because you didn't execute it doesn't mean you're not thinking it.
Nah, that's right. And, you know, I was talking to Elspeth about it last night, and I don't know if she'd, I don't know how she got this, but her mum's into politics a bit. So I think the government, because they've just, they've lost a seat, and, you know, Giggles, as they referred to him, as, you know, I think he's a little bit worried.
Yeah.
And there was that poll that, you know, 78% didn't want the Olympics or something. And then they were, you know, in the last week they've been talking about the Gabba, and are they having it at the Gabba or are they going to have it somewhere else? And everyone's against it being at the Gabba. So I think that's off the table. And then, yeah, he's trying to think, how's he going to win back some voters? Well, you know, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but here's a tip. Get the crime rate under control. Forget about the Olympics. Sort out being able to go to a shopping center without being stabbed.
Yeah. Where was that at?
Richmond.
Okay.
70-year-old woman with her granddaughter.
That's pretty bad, isn't it?
Well, especially when the car was worth $1,500 best, at best.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And then, you know, and then, yeah, that's just, you know, the last thing that's happened sort of thing. So there's been plenty of other examples. So, yeah.
Surely we're getting to a point, though, with these games that contractually, if you put your hand up for it, you've got to see that through.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Australia pulls out of this one, was it you that was telling me about Malaysia?
For Com Games, I mean, it hadn't been signed. It was just I'd seen that there was talk about Malaysia putting their hand up, and that the Commonwealth were happy to sort of compensate them handsomely cash-wise if they were to take it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'd be just it wouldn't be very, you know, seen in very good light, would it?
Put your hand up,
win two major sporting events and then back out. I mean, and I would think that, you know, organisations that are trying to get World Cup cricket or, you know, the soccer or, you know, they wouldn't want that. It'd hurt them as well, I would imagine, you know. So, yeah, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there's got to be something in these contracts that, you know, to a certain point, sure, give them a cool-off period or whatever it is, like buying a house or whatever, but at a certain point, it's done. So, oh, you run out of money now? Tough titties. You better work that stuff out. You signed up for it.
Yeah, I mean,
what world do we live in where all of a sudden just go, nah, not doing it now?
Yeah, well, last I checked, we're not third world country, are we? Like,
well, no, I don't think so.
Don't put your hand up if you can't follow through.
Yeah, it's so stupid. I just don't. Yeah. Anyway, I just don't.
Especially when you've got a nation, you know, that Australia's reputation was sport. So,
and look, and to these people out there, and they don't listen to our podcast, I'm sure. Maybe Palaszczuk used to.
Oh.
I think Palaszczuk might have been a big Shane Rollison fan. but if they are listening, stop listening to all the people out there in the peanut gallery, because what they're whinging about now, once you set the games up and follow through with it, there'll be all the ones saying, what a great time and how much I enjoyed it. And yeah, there's going to be the few that are shitty because the traffic's a little bit more busier or whatever. But as we've shown many, many times, everyone's going to be doubtful. Everyone's going to be whinging and whining from the sidelines. Just see the bloody thing through, and eventually those people, mostly, majority anyway, Shannon, come around and go, do you know what? Look, I was against it, but geez, we put on a good show and that wasn't too bad, eh?
Yeah, I mean,
and it'll show strength and character, which not a lot of these bloody politicians have. Stick to your guns, see it through. Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you say, the last 12 months interest rates have, you know, what is it, 13 times have gone up or something in the last 15 months or something like that. So now they're talking about rate cuts you know, so just a tip, it should be a pretty good day on the stock market today.
That's a new segment coming up soon, people. Shannon's stock tips.
But, you know, the US look like they're going to cut rates. Then Australia may follow. Some people are saying not this year. Some people are saying two times in this year. So you can imagine, you know, it has been tough. Mm. That people are going, oh, why are we doing this? But, you know, like within 12, 24 months, you know, interest rates could be half of what they are today. So who knows? And then all of a sudden it's all happy days, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah, and you'd like to think that when people were putting their plans for these bids for the games together, they took into consideration all sorts of financial and economic type situations, right? So you'd like to think that they have a fair understanding of how much it's going to cost, what that happens here, what works there, how they can fund this and how they can fund that. But yeah, know, sometimes it just looks like they've said, yeah, like at a like at an auction, they've just put the paddle up and then they go, you got it. And then they go back, shit, all right, what do we do now?
I didn't think I was going to win it.
Yeah, so Olympic Games.
You mightn't be far off with Palaszczuk. I mean, she may have done that. Yeah.
Loyal listener, Anastasia, we love you.
She's gone now, isn't she?
Yeah,
she's,
I know.
She's out the door. She's like a high performance manager.
Oh, we're on fire today. We are rocking.
Anyway, that's a podcast for another day.
Yeah.
But look, I don't know what I mean. They were going to revamp the Gabba.
Mm.
From a knowing Brisbane a little bit, like I would have thought QE2 would have been a better place. So, like, they've got plenty of room out there.
Yeah,
it's got big major roads all around it. It's just off the freeway. I mean, the Gabba is, whoa. It's like, it's, you know, there's not a lot of space there.
No, it's smack bang in the middle.
Got little roads. Yeah. It's, you know, one of the oldest parts of the city. Yeah, anyway. They didn't think it through, Robbie.
Yeah, don't put your paddles up, people. Have an idea of what the hell you're going to buy first before you stick your paddles up. Oh, dearie me. All right, now let's move on to another topic, Shannon. Now, I'm gonna let you choose to integrate yourself into this conversation when you feel like it, if you feel like it, how you want to, how you don't want to. Because I also don't want to get you in trouble. I know people that listen to this podcast because they've told me they listen. But it can't stop me from saying what I want to say today. So, obviously, this is very, very specific and in-house to New South Wales coaches only that are listening. But turns out that's probably our biggest demographic of people that listen to this podcast as well. So, earlier this week, there was an email sent out as an exclusive clinic for New South Wales swimmers that had been selected to go to a couple of clinics at performance centres. So I think there's one at Newcastle, Shannon, and one at the new one at Sutherland. My swimmers, a whole heap of them got it, so I don't know how exclusive it is. And then I know a lot of other people had got it. Doing some background investigating into, I guess, you know, how this is set up and why this is set up, and I'm not going to go into those because there's other conversations on the side that, you know, don't need to be public. But at the same time, I got the gist of what the idea of these things were, right? So I want to start by saying I get the idea of it and I'm not really against the idea of it. So in context, so people that listen, that I know that listen, that they know that I listen, that they're listening, I get that. But the execution was super poorly done. It was really, really poorly done. Like, to not let coaches of New South Wales swimmers know that this was going to happen, so that, because we got people asking us, like, oh, what's this clinic? Should we go? I don't know. What clinic? I've got no idea. At the same time, too, you know, getting emails about these exclusive things makes it look like it's they've been selected for something, but then they haven't really been. There's not, I mean, I know that a lot of other coaches, it rubbed them up the wrong way. I know that in terms of, as I said, the execution of it, it just came across really poor in terms of the optics of all the coaches especially, but, you know, clubs as well. And I just think it could have been done a lot better if they are genuinely just sort of clinics that are there to help New South Wales swimmers get a little bit better and learn from Prouty and Sander. And if you ever do them, Shannon, like, it's great that our swimmers get to learn from you guys, and I'm all about it. I have no issues with my swimmers going there. But the way it was kind of put out there, and I mean, it just came across a little bit more suspect than I think it was meant to and intended to. So I get the idea it was executed. I don't agree with the way it was executed, and I think it probably could have been thought through a little bit better. And my last little thing on it, my rant, Shannon, I'm like Ray Hadley now. my last thing is to New South Wales Swimming and to the people that are higher up there, bring the coaches in and make us feel that we're a part of these decisions, and we will back your decisions and support you, and we will push our swimmers to your causes as well. If you try and shut us out, or you don't mean to, but you do in the end, you end up getting a to and a fro and an us versus you mentality, and it's not really what you're aiming for, because New South Wales Swimming all want to be heading in the same direction, but inadvertently that's what you're doing. You're creating an us versus them environment and mentality without doing it on purpose, and I get that, and as I said, I'm not pointing fingers and saying people are doing it on purpose, but that's the environment you're creating. I would be more inclined to bring coaches in on these conversations, bring them in on these, at least educate us, let us know, hey coaches, just so you know, we're doing these clinics, it'd be great if you could send your kids over and get amongst it. As I said, I understand the reasons behind the scenes of why these clinics are on. I have no issues with that. I think it's a good idea. And I'm always about, like, I've brought swimmers to you. I've sent swimmers to Sander. Prouty's a great coach too. I'd love for the kids to learn from Prouty. So I'm not really, yeah. Anyway, what do you think about that, Shannon? Or do you want to plead the fifth? Do we plead the fifth in Australia?
As you know, I think I saw it on the WhatsApp chat and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was kicking off on there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm not across the execution part of it. Obviously, I didn't get anything. So, but I think, you know, we all know you can have good ideas and can be executed poorly and vice versa. So, I take your point with that. I think the it was in its, yeah, the reasons behind it were, as I said to you, genuinely trying to move the state forward trying to come up with different ways to create some revenue without, you know, just upping memberships and things like that.
All this. Yeah, and I'm all about that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
in my mind. So,
That was it Monday night, or it must have been Monday night.
Yeah, it was Monday night.
Yeah, and I've gone to bed, and Elsbeth's reading and stuff, and we're on her phone, and she's got, oh, look, and I won't mention the swimmer's name, but
yes,
they're doing a clinic, and it's going to cost this, and you know, I find it quite amusing. In the best, that's about the best way I could put it,
yes.
Where you have ex-athletes running clinics on stroke correction and all that sort of stuff and mentoring, and people are paying astronomical amounts, and you think, has that person even coached anybody?
Yeah.
You know, so, and they're asking big money for it, you know, whereas Robbie, if you put up your training fees by $1 a week, you'll hear about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just it was amusing. Elsbeth showing me this ad, and I'm going, oh. I wonder if people are kicking off about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, it's happened, and the two guys that are involved, it's, you know, I spoke to John. I think he thought it was more at the JX type level.
Yeah.
Um, So he was a bit unaware of the level that it was going up to. So, but whoever sent the emails, maybe we'll have to have a look at the execution, like you say. But
Bring us in. Get the coaches involved. We'll back you. We'll get behind it. You want everyone on the same page going forward together. We're on the same page. We're on the same team here. As I said, when you do things like this, it just starts to make people think, well, what team am I on here? Have they created their own team? I don't know. Just it doesn't. Anyway, that's my two cents. I'll get off my soapbox. Now, state open champs, Shannon, we had a good weekend. It was a great weekend in terms of, and I know my swimmers love it, to get to watch some of the top athletes from around Australia come and race.
Did they get any photos?
Yeah, we've got a few. There's a few with Cody Simpson and Flynn and a few others that they jumped around and got photos with. So
I know some of Laura's guys got photos of one in particular was Lani Pallister in the car park.
Poor Lani. She can't even, she's out in the car park just trying to go
Probably not a bad place, actually. It's very least interruption for your own performance.
Yeah. But they are brilliant. Predominantly most of the swimmers anyway, in terms of giving their time. I've mentioned that on here before. I don't think they get enough pats on the back for that. They're very, very good. I don't think they get paid any more money per photo or anything like that. It's not as if they're contractually obligated to take every photo that gets thrown in front of them. So they do a great job with that, I must admit. But as we were talking before, Shannon, there's pros and cons when it comes to state open every year. There's some really good things, and I'm not going to say there's many cons, and in terms of cons, I just more mean into reasons behind people racing. And I'll put it to you this way: I had a coach say to me, "If it wasn't in Sydney, would you have your athletes here?" And I said, "No, because they're age group swimmers. So I know you'd still be there, but would we still be there?" So I guess that's probably one of the things that kind of goes against it is timing wise for us. So then, I mean, is it our decision? So would you recommend age group swimmers still coming, or should they come with a better understanding of the weekend and how it's going to look? And
yeah, I think if you're an age grouper and it was somewhere else in Australia, would you go? No, definitely not.
No.
But I think the positive is it is in Sydney, and that's that's the reason why you go. And you can see those sort of famous types of people. I know Ava was super excited just being in the heat with Kaylee McEwen.
Yeah.
And I think, Mum said, she won't know you're there, And Ava goes, yeah, I know that. Yeah. But I'm in the same race.
Yeah.
And it was, she was like lane one, So that's a positive, isn't it? It's positive that she's actually excited about that. So, she's into this, Yeah. So they're the reasons why you do go. And the good thing is, you get in your car, you live in Sydney, and you toddle off to it, and you get that experience for peanuts, don't you?
Yeah.
Country kids have got to travel, so you probably start weighing up what level is my country swimmer at. But, Sienna Tui, she would have been crazy if she didn't go to that meet. If you can get a second swim, you should be at that meet, particularly if you're an age grouper, because you're starting to, you're thinking ahead. You're planting the seed. You're getting them used to swimming at an open level. I mean, that was probably one of the highlights for Ava, that she did PBs in open races.
Yeah.
There was no medal hanging off the end of it. Wasn't in lane four. So for me as a coach, whether it was my daughter or not, I'd be thinking, that's good. That's good performances. You don't always see that. So you're normalizing open swimming, and that's what you would be trying to do with that swim meet. I thought it had more of a buzz about it than previous open races. And back in the day, it was 4 weeks before the trials. So it had a fair bit of importance. I would say of all the swim meets in the country, it was the most important outside of trials. Now you're 12 weeks before and you're 4 weeks out for an age group, or 3 weeks out maybe. But I thought it had a bit of a buzz to it. You know, there was stuff going on. I don't know the facts, but it seemed like there were more people there. I don't know what the numbers. I'll probably find that out. It just had a bit more of a buzz about it. So
thought it had a good flow. The program itself, like we, we've been here a few times on the podcast and spoken about programs, whether it's state age or whatever it might be, and we've discussed the program itself and whether it worked and what events went where and how that goes. And I know, Shannon, you've been pretty vocal in terms of what programs look like and how they work. But I don't know about you. I thought this weekend had a really good flow to it.
Yeah, it was good. There was relays. And, you know, Laura sent through the point score, and I think the club finished seventh, which I thought was pretty good. And we didn't do any relays. I don't think the meet's really designed for relays. And to be honest, I didn't even see one. Did you see one?
Relays? No, they were probably more New South Wales club relays than anything. Okay. Yeah. I know our San Susie team had a few relays through the weekend and did pretty well. So I think they were more designed for, I don't know if they're designed for that, but in the end that's who's entering them, the sort of New South Wales teams. But
and that's fair enough. It is hard to back up and do relays, particularly if you're a senior swimmer who's, there for a hit out. But, yeah, for your age groupers, it's probably a good thing because sometimes, you could have been one and a half seconds faster in the relay, so another opportunity to see. You get a second swim where that age grouper may not have got a second hit at the 100, so that's a good thing. But yeah, I thought event wise it was all good. There was, nothing to see here sort of thing. Nothing stood out.
So it brings me to our topic today, and that's why everyone's clicked onto it, because the heading today, chasing the PBs. I know a lot of coaches I spoke to over the weekend, age group wise, had a lot of swimmers that were probably performing on or around their PBs, but a lot of them were just over in terms of where their best was at. It's a lot of school racing. We've talked about that before as well. And we're also not tapered yet. So a lot of the swimmers are still in good training and they're about to start their descent to land their plane, as we say on the podcast. What are some of those dangers, Shannon, in terms of having a culture where swimmers and parents and clubs are chasing PBs, like their happiness is defined by what that board tells them versus whether it was a good race and they're just a bit tired, as we had discussed over a beer on the weekend. It can be dangerous sort of practice, can't it, chasing those PBs all the time?
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. I think, I mentioned earlier, is it 1-2%? Might even be 3%. But let's just say it's 1-2%, and you have people who hit that target and they're still not happy with their swim. It's like, what did you think was going to happen? What were your expectations? And you just end up in a dark place. And it's totally unrealistic. I had to point out to a swimmer that had done their season best, made a final for the first time at an open level at that meet, so like for like.
Yep.
March, been there for 3 years, made a couple of finals for the first time. Because they'd been going around telling everyone they were swimming really, really bad.
Yeah.
How? You were, season best time, within 2% of your 200, So, it, but it does show you that, you know, other swimmers would be static with that, and then you got the swimmer at the same variation off their PB, and they're heading down a dark road.
Yeah,
which and end up creating a problem.
Well, you just said something, I guess, that piqued my interest. Could we be better as coaches in our education of the athletes and the parents around the terminologies we use? So you've used their season best. Could you use long course best? Could you use things like that in terms of or heat, you know, best swim in a heat session or whatever it might be, ways to create different, I guess, outcomes. So in their mind, there is only one, and that is it. And if they don't hit that, they're a failure.
Yeah.
And for the parents in the stands, if they don't hit that PB, then, you know, the swimmer and the coach of, you know, they're not doing what they're meant to be doing, because we should just be, you know, sailing off into up to the moon, apparently, every single time should be a PB. Do you think we could be better at educating swimmers and parents about, you know, what's a season bet? Like, what is that the sort of terminology you use? Do you break it down and sort of give them different key indicators like that, as you said, season best?
Yeah, well, if you follow athletics at all, they'll have that on the board. So they'll have season best, personal best, because, you know, oh, these Bronte. I mean, Bronte's best times are from 2015.
Yeah.
So, you know, and she's still swimming. You know, she still enjoys it. If you're going to be an open athlete and you're either going to swim or you're not going to swim based on whether you do a PB or not, you're not going to be swimming for very long.
Yeah.
And I used to talk about this with, you know, sports that, you know, weren't time-based, tennis or something, you know. They're not judging themselves off personal best. They're judging themselves off, one, beating the people on the other end of the court, and then on how they played and how they performed and all those sort of things. I think, you know, like Olympic trials is going to be interesting. A lot of people are only going to get one swim, and it's going to be in the morning. They won't get a second crack. So you're going to be able to have to stand up in the heat. So that's going to be a tough meet. And we all know that you physically can swim better at night. There's no denying that. But a lot of your swimmers who will be going to the trials won't get that opportunity.
Mm.
So... keep that in mind. You're going to have to get them ready for a morning performance. So,
but and for the listeners, Shannon, sorry, just for the listeners, what's that due to? You know, they swim faster at night, finals. Is it the atmosphere? Is it the night time? You know?
Yeah, there'll be one of the factors will be atmosphere. Now, sometimes that hurts people, but other times it lifts people. I've coached both styles of athlete. But, you know, your body takes 3 hours to wake up. Your brain takes 3 hours. So, you know, whether you're racing at 9 a.m. or you've got an exam at 9 a.m., in theory, you should be up at 6.
Okay, there you go. You know, write that down, people. Write that down.
So the thing also I was just going to mention about PBs and stuff, you know, if you talk to coaches – I'm just trying to think where this was said. I think it was an English coach who was coaching in Australia for a bit, and they just talked about what surprised them is how much Australians want to do a PB all the time.
Yeah.
And when I went to Denmark, you know, my group was swimming quite well. And, you know, the Danes, they didn't mind doing some work. And they would be a country mile off their PBs in season. And they were surprised at how close my guys could get. And, you know, it was nothing to see here type culture. So I don't know where our culture has got this this expectation that there has to be a PB every time you swim. And I've talked about this when I had some of the young guys, young coaches coaching in Canberra when I first started here and we were doing a fair bit of mentor type stuff. The funny thing was one of the best local meets that the coaches here have had is when the scoreboard didn't work. Parents hated it because they couldn't judge whether the swim was right or good or not.
Mm-hmm.
The kids loved it because they didn't have mum or dad, you know, being a lunatic in their ear.
Yeah.
And the coaches loved it as well.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, and I think I've said it here before, you know, the kid does a PB, a month later they come back, they don't do a PB, oh, they're swimming terrible, based off the fact that they did a PB at the last meet. Well, they're not swimming terrible. The language that gets used in this sport and in you know, society these days, it's so extreme.
Mm.
So if it's his second best swim, his second best time, it's a shocking swim. Bad performance.
Yeah.
But if you hadn't have done that PB last month, that shocking swim would now be your best time. But, yeah, so there does need to be better education. Yeah. And maybe, you know, it starts with coaches, you know, with their parents in some of their coach education talks or something like that they could be doing in the clubs. But, you know, the parents are driving their kids out of the sport because, you know, kids can do a PB and swim, start bad, finish bad, be short in their stroke, and they've done a good swim, a PB or whatever. So it's terrible execution, PB. Or they can execute things right that the coach is wanting them to do. So they'll get a pat on the back from the coach and they'll cop it from the parent. You know, the mixed signals are all over the place. Then you wonder why kids aren't developing in their skills. You know, so it's just this merry-go-round that we keep on tending to go around.
Yeah, well, I guess that's why I brought it up when you said season best and things like that. And, you know, quite often for the listeners out there when Shannon and I talk, some of the things Shannon says start tweaking my brain and think, oh, I like that. And I start coming up with my own ideas of taking what Shannon's mentioned. And I think one thing we could take away from that is, yeah, educating parents around. And some people already have. There's probably people driving going, yep, I already do that. Well yeah. done. Good stuff. But if you don't yeah, I think it'd be a good, like, around, as I said, season best and in-season racing and the differences between that and all that kind of stuff, because there is, and definitely different, big difference between age group and open-level racing for sure. But, I think there can be more done around that, because I did see, like, even Chad and some of the swimmers, it's so funny that, if they've, you know, they've been on 25.0 for ages and they go 0.2 and 0.1 just because they didn't see the 24.99, they're still like, oh, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good swim, oh, I'm not, you know, yeah. not happy. Their PB, I saw the other day someone's PB was like 58.9. They went 59.0 and they're not happy. They're like, nah, that wasn't a 58. I'm like, well, what's realistically, there's not a big difference between 58.9 and 9.0. So I don't know what we're getting too upset about.
Yeah, I just don't think you. It's not a good place to be.
No,
it's not. You're not actually. If you're going to be that pedantic, what's going to happen when you stop swimming? You know, like, really? And we've seen probably a few examples of how that turns out, and it doesn't turn out very pretty. So, because it's just not real, you know. So I'd almost call it unhealthy.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. And So that's the advice you'd be giving coaches out there to be doing more around parent education, around verbiage and ways to kind of...
Yeah, you see the parents in the grandstand, they're talking to other parents. So, you know, that's like me talking about how to build a house. I have no idea, but I'm talking about it, you know, and people are listening. So, you know, they're all sitting in the grandstand. The only reference point that they have is that scoreboard. So, you know, the Storms are being created. So, you know, the best parents are the ones you don't see. The best parents are the ones that stick to themselves. They're not in the, you know, years ago it was the Poos Club, you know.
The what?
Oh, it used to be called the Poos, Parents of Olympians. Now, you could only be in it if you were a parent of an Olympian. I mean, please, have you heard of anything more ridiculous? I mean, the name of the group, Poo,
yeah,
because they give you the shits,
yeah,
that's about it. Then that went to some other name. I don't even know what it is now, but, you know, someone else had known up the name. There's another acronym now, so.
Oh, dear me. That someone actually came up with that? That is.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was many Olympiad. They even dressed up. But, you know, the best parents are the ones that they don't get involved with that stuff.
Yeah.
They stick to themselves. They have a good – they talk to you. They're happy their kid's just swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I think I spoke to Susie O'Neill, and she said that her parents had no idea what her best times were. They used to just drop her off and pick her up. And, you know, she was saying at certain points, especially when she got a little bit older and was really firing – you know, she'd be knocking off records or doing really good things, and still mum and dad pick her up and go, "So how was that today, Dale? Good?" And she'd be like, yeah, it was good. I had a good day," or whatever it might have been. So, you know, my theory is always, you know, high five the kids when they're happy and be happy with them, and give them a cuddle when they're not happy and they're sad. Obviously, as parents, we want to continue to always, you know, hope that our kids are doing the best they can. Don't get me wrong, I watch my daughter do swimming lessons on a Friday afternoon, Shannon, and I watch her not do the things that we do in the pool when we're playing around and we're mucking around. She's jumping to me and she's pushing off the wall and kicking by herself. And then I watch her jump in and grab onto the teachers and not let her go and do all these things. And I have to take a breath. I'm like every other parent. I have to just let it go because she's got to learn for herself. So I get it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not a parent basher. I know most parents, 79.9% of them all have the best interests at heart when they're, you know, trying to get these things for their kids. They're just misguided in the way they go about it sometimes. Yeah. And I get it. And it's only probably going to get harder for me watching Charlie do her swimming lessons. But that's a part of the role that, we've got to play. We've just, you know, we're just a part of the journey. We're not the driver of the journey, because if we're the driver of the journey, then there's not going to be a very long journey, is there?
Yeah. You just got to not add fire.
Yeah.
Don't add fire to it, which they sometimes can't.
Yes, 100%. Now, we've got a new segment coming up, which we're not going to do today, but we're going to, I guess, talk about the idea of it today, just to whet people's appetite, Shannon, so they can get excited about the weeks to come. Now, we were talking about different segments, and as per usual, it's over a beer, so the wheels are a bit more greased, so we think a little bit better and clearly. And we are going to, in the coming weeks, put together our greatest Olympic finals. In terms of, so let me explain this. It's not the greatest Olympic final, so don't go back to, oh, mine would have been 2004 and the 200 free. Or No. We're going to announce, I guess, an event. So for Shannon, it might be the 100 breast, 100 free, women's 100 free, men's 100 free, whatever. We're going to pick the event, and then we're going to go through the history of swimming and put together the top 8 athletes in our mind. So it's all very subjective as well, but obviously, Shannon's final is going to probably hold a lot more weight than my final.
But we're not necessarily.
It'll hold more weight. I didn't say people might agree with it more, but they might understand more given your experience and background. But, you know, we'll put together the top eight in an Olympic final. And I guess the idea too is then to create a bit of conversation for you guys, whether you're in your car or on pool deck, to be like, well, what would your 100 free be if you, you know, got to put pop off in with, you know, whoever it might be?
Yeah, I think that, like, as we were talking, probably too many events to go through all of them. But being an Olympic year, it's like your dream final, various athletes over the decades. So
yeah, that's a good one. Let's call it the dream finals. Yeah, that's good.
The
we're workshopping as we're on air. Well done, Shannon.
And then, you know, maybe, I don't know, Robbie, if you can even do this, like, you might have, can you get a viewer, you know, what do the listeners think?
Yeah. Yeah. So we can.
Maybe they could have a voting type thing, and
we can put some polls up online for sure on Instagram or.
Yeah, and how different it would be to mine, you know, maybe something like that. So
I tell you, put together a good one, David Clark. David, I know you're listening.
I think he should be disqualified already.
Yes. He'd put one together that would be so deadly accurate on data and everything that it'd just, me and you'd be like, oh, we forgot about that guy, or, you know, because a lot of these things, when you put together your dream finals, is based off your love of the sport as well, and when you fell in love with it, and your swimmers and your favorites. And I remember I dare Shannon a couple of years ago put up a thing of what's your Mount Rushmore for swimming coaches. And you know, I did a video, and it was just designed to get people thinking, right? And, you know, just to get people talking. Anyway, I put mine up, and next minute, all the people in America, that's it, Americans that are listening today, the people, how could you not have this guy? I'm like, well, because I'm not American. I don't know that American coach. He's from 1960-something. How the hell am I? It's your own idea. So, again, with these dream finals.
You have Doc Hanselman on it.
I don't think I did, no.
Oh. That's not good.
Well, it's my one, right? It's mine. It's my one. But anyway, I was getting smashed. Who is this guy? What is he thinking? Well, it's my own. So, and that's what's a good thing, because then it gets people talking. And as I said, what's right, what's wrong, it all comes down to your love of the sport and why you got into it and who you're influenced by, especially when it comes to that.
David would be deadly. He'd go back to 1912.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got data from way back. He's got data from way back. So so we're going to do that. When are we going to start that, Shannon, next week or the week after? When are we going to come up with that? Because a bit of research is going to go, yeah.
And we'll probably just do one per, you know, it'd be a series over, you know, a few weeks.
It's going to be a Netflix series, guys. Did you hear that? Here we go. Get excited. It's going to be a Netflix series. All right, so what's the weekend got planned for you, Shannon? I know up here we've got Junior State Championships in Sydney. I know you're probably that's not on your radar. What do you got going on?
Sunday I'm doing a talk to a Learn to Swim, local Learn to Swim group. Yeah.
Could you go? That's very good. What are you talking about?
All I've been asked to do is inspire them.
Inspire.
So I don't know what I'm going to come up with.
They should just listen to the podcast every week. They'd be inspired. I tell you what is.
Yeah, so that's 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
I tell you what is a ratings bonanza that I didn't think was that big of a hit, but apparently I've had a lot of feedback on Pool Deck, and the big hit, Shannon, that everyone's raving about is Shannon's Song of the Week. Everyone's raving about Shannon's Song of the Week. I'm even getting chipped now on Pool Deck that I'm so bad with my music knowledge. Sandy from Warringah, she came up, she said, hey, I just got in the car park, finish with Shannon's song of the week. That man knows his music. You need to be better. And I said, what? Now I'm getting in trouble. So I don't know how this segment has gone this far, but yeah, Shannon's song of the week. People are crazy about it. They're loving it.
The tell you who's into their music. Marty Roberts is into his music. He's got some different stuff. We both like 80s stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm almost the challenge almost now is to keep on going where you haven't heard this song.
Which again we have you've executed to perfection today. What was the song again today? I know it's the Romantics. What's the song we're going for?
Talking in Your Sleep.
Talking in Your Sleep. So I'm aware that the Romantics are a group that has happened, and I know that they made music. So I knew that name, but I did not know this song. So the Romantics, Talking in Your Sleep. So we're going to put that on in a second. Yeah, that's it. Shannon, you got anything else? Got anything on your mind before we finish?
No, well, Formula One's on this weekend, so I'll be
anything else?
I might have to make my my chat to the Learn to Swim people quite quick.
Just do a PowerPoint presentation. Set a video up, Shannon, and then as they're watching, you back slowly out of the room.
Yeah, I'll be like, slide. Any questions? Thank you. See ya.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Talking in your sleep. There we go. I found it. Oh, that's very funny. All right. Well, time to head off. So we're going to go. This is Shannon's song of the week this week, The Romantics, Talking in Your Sleep. We're going to keep doing this segment until I get tapped on the shoulder by Apple Music or Spotify or someone that tells us we shouldn't be or we can't be or we've got to cut it up into different segments or whatever. But I tell you, the people are loving it.
And I've got I've been thinking about it, and there's a couple of songs as we go towards the Olympics that I'm going to bring up that we had in our camp. It was in our Olympic camp.
Yeah.
And then a few other things. So, yeah.
Well, also, Kirsten Thompson's going to get a song on here at some stage. She's keen. She loves the segment. She's a people person. She's with the people. Everyone is very excited about this segment. There's a groundswell. So, Shannon's song of the week, The Romantics, Talking in Your Sleep. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy yourselves. If you're going out to state, junior state, have a good weekend. If not, we'll talk to you all again next week. See you later. See you, Shannon.
See everyone.
Today's episode of Off the Block Swimming Podcast is proudly brought to you, as always, by Pro Swim Workouts. Nico and the team at Pro Swim Workouts have been supporters of the podcast from day one and continue to support the show and the coaching community more broadly with their platform, ProSwimWorkouts.com. Head over to the website right now and become a member to receive all the exclusive content, whether it's programming, in and out of the water, thought-provoking articles, or even just sharing of ideas. It is a one-stop shop. And for all those just looking to browse, head over to proswimworkouts.com to find free workouts, podcast tips, jobs available, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? I'll say it one more time. Head over to proswimworkouts.com right now and let Nico know that Off the Block sent you.